So it's about 6:45 in the evening in India right now. And I've been up since 2:30 this morning. Feel like it. I'm ready for a nap, actually. Takes me a little while to get back on track. But boy, I'll tell you this, I was not ready to deal with the book of Job this morning, this weekend. The first reading, the very first sentence, I read it and said, like Job, why, Lord? Why? Here is what he begins the reading with. He says, is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Is not man's life on earth a drudgery? Drudgery is a very, very distressing word. It's a very powerful word. And it's an immensely burdensome state of being. You add the clinical dimension of it, and I think you could call it depression. So these are dark days for Job. And I've just come back from home watching my 90-year-old father calling his life a drudgery. It breaks my heart to see him this way. He takes about 11, 12 pills just to stay alive at 90. And he walks very slowly now, barely gets up from bed. He sleeps most of the time. Gets up to go to the bathroom to pray. That's one of the things that keeps him going. Eats, barely eats now, very little, very concerned about it, and then goes to bed again sometimes. 16, 17 hours, he's sleeping. It's called drudgery. My mother was telling me the other day, she said, does this have to be how our last days to be spent? She says, he sleeps most of the time, and I walk about the house like a ghost. And to hear my mother say that just ripped me apart. So when I left home this time, it's really strange. When I left home this time, I didn't feel that I was just leaving home. I felt that I was abandoning my parents. And I know I'm not. I know I'm not, but that's how I feel. That's where they are in their lives. And I just thought, God, am I really abandoning my parents at this point? Now, you know me. My life still has meaning. You know this is, my ministry is my life. I'm supported by some very, very loving people. I have this little puppy that makes me smile as well. So it's not that my life does not have meaning, but I could say that right now what I'm going through is itself drudgery. Feel it in my bones. And I'm only surprised that some of you have been through that, or if not, going through it right now. Every person goes through something that we call drudgery. My homily today is really three antidotes to drudgery. There is no solution to life's dark side sometimes. But there are antidotes, ways in which we perhaps can cope with it. And today's scripture has some very, very good pointers in that direction. So here's my first antidote. See, first of all, this book of Job, it's taken from the part of the Bible we call the wisdom literature. And so it's the Psalms, the Proverbs, the book of wisdom, Ecclesiastes. This book that we've read, Job, these are all books of wisdom. And wisdom literature really tries to deal with the mysteries of life, the meaning and the purpose of life. And one of the mysteries that the book of wisdom deals with, and particularly the one that Job deals with, is that sometimes when life is overcome by darkness, that there really isn't a compelling answer to that question. You can ask all the questions you want. So my dad asks the question, why am I still alive? What the heck is the answer? At the end of it all, Job does not get an answer to his meaninglessness and drudgery. All he does is make a meek surrender before God in these words. He says, I know that you can do all things, that no purpose of yours can be hindered. I have dealt with great things that I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I cannot know. So even though he does not have the answer, what scripture is trying to tell us is that his relationship with God, Job's relationship with God, no matter what it is, that itself becomes the giver of hope. A dim candlelight in the midst of drudgery. That's what I'm calling my homily, a dim candlelight in the midst of drudgery. No matter what your relationship with God is at this point, that relationship itself is our first antidote to the question of drudgery. And I see this with mom and dad. Huh? I don't know how, there's an internal clock in dad. So 7 o'clock in the morning, my mom and dad get together and they pray. And those of you who have Facebook, I when I went home, I posted the two of them praying. I'll tell you, I mean, I'm a priest, but boy, they are the ones who are holy. I mean, you should see them praying. You can't just but stand, what the heck are they doing? It's that deep, you know, that prayer that they have. And then dad has all these, after the prayer, he has, every day there is a novena on TV. Monday, I don't even know what saint it is for, but Tuesday it is St. Anthony, Wednesday it is some saint, Thursday it is, and then Friday it's Sacred Heart, and Saturday it is Mary. Drives me nuts, but they have all these novenas, and then 7 o'clock in the evening, somehow he's sleeping, but he gets up for the rosary. 4 o'clock in the evening, there is Mass on TV, they attend that. And then 10 o'clock at night, there is adoration. And I see what keeps them going. This relationship they have with God, like Job, is an antidote to drudgery. So cling on to that. Whatever it is that your relationship is like, cling on to that. It's very helpful. Secondly, I want to take a verse from today's second reading, St. Paul. He talks about becoming all things to all people. Now, the context in which he's talking about is a completely different context. It's the Jewish Gentile context. And he's using these words that, you know, he can be good with Jews, he can be good with Gentiles, he's all things to all people. But then I want to use that verse in the context of drudgery. So first hear what he says. Paul says, to the weak, I became weak to win over the weak. I have become all things to all to save at least some. All this I do for the sake of the gospel, so that I too may have a share in it. So this whole idea of I've become all things to all people, it's called solidarity. And in terms of drudgery, it's a very, very powerful word. Solidarity. Paul was expressing his oneness with those who needed him. His oneness, his solidarity. And you have examples of this in today's gospel reading. Jesus is visiting this village in Galilee, and he goes to Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is ill. And I love this image, huh? That Jesus stretches out his hand, he grasps her hand, and picks her up and heals her. It's called solidarity. In fact, if you look at the cross, there is Jesus stretching out his hands towards all humanity in solidarity. And it doesn't end there. After he has had a meal at their home, he realizes there are all these people gathered around the house. And he goes and heals everybody. It's just like he's stretching out his hands towards everybody, and he's grasping them and pulling them out of their drudgery. And if that was not enough, he says, now I've got to go to the other towns and villages. And he goes to preach, and there he casts out demons and heals the sick. See what Jesus is doing? He's expressing solidarity with those who are experiencing the burdens of life. Folks, I think today's scripture is really telling us that solidarity is an antidote to drudgery. In other words, when we are burdened, let's help one another. The day that you're feeling good, there's someone else who's not. And how often we want to say, I've had it, I have got my own problems. But what are the chances that you might, like Jesus, stretch out your hands, grasp somebody's hand, pick them up? Solidarity not only can become an antidote to our own drudgery because we are offering help to people, but then those who experience our help find hope in us. So the first antidote is our relationship with God. The second antidote is this whole question of solidarity, that we can help one another in time of need. Now my third point is very deeply connected to my second point. One of the most, one of the best examples of the Paul and Jesus-like solidarity that we see is Pope Francis. He has, Pope Francis has completely changed our understanding of mission. Whenever he goes to any country, the one thing that he does not fail to do is to reach out to people who are on the peripheries. He'll go to the poorest of the shanties and slums. He'll search for people who are really feeling left out. And he'll be with them. He doesn't have a solution to their problems, but he's there. Even recently when he visited Chile, one of the biggest problems was this question of the victims of the priest child abuse crisis in Chile. It's huge. And he did not run away from the problem. He actually met with some of the victims. And something went wrong in his comments because there was a bishop that they were accusing of, and the Pope was defending the bishop. And later he went back to Rome and he apologized for his tone. The Pope apologized for his tone and how he spoke in this regard. But the point is that he has made two words that are very, very powerful in the context of drudgery and suffering and meaninglessness and misery. And that's mercy and compassion. You can pretty much say that Pope Francis's middle name is mercy and compassion. And mercy and compassion are powerful antidotes against drudgery. So again, I see this in my own home. In that entire neighborhood where my parents live, everybody knows that if they want help, they can come to my home. And I got nothing to do with it. This is somehow mom and dad have established this culture where their home, now I'm interpreting this, their home is a space of mercy and compassion. Financially, emotionally, spiritually. People often walk into a house and they want to talk to mom and dad. And they do whatever they can. And in that, they are finding meaning even in the midst of drudgery. So, our relationship with God, the solidarity that we expressed with people, and our mercy and our compassion, folks, these are the antidotes to meaninglessness, to misery, to drudgery. I pray that if you are at a state where you're experiencing what I am, or if you've been through those days, or you don't know how to deal with it when life happens, when the dark side of life approaches you, these are ways that Scripture tells us that we can pick up our lives, find meaning, and move on. Now, the Eucharist is the greatest antidote to drudgery. You know, that home that the people gathered, crowded around where Jesus was, isn't that what this is now? We've all come here. We've all come with our lives. Some of it is great, some of it is burdensome right now, but we bring, and what do? We come to Jesus, and Jesus in communion, he stretches out his hands and grasps our hands and lifts us up and gives us his presence, his peace, his healing. So may this Eucharist be an experience for each one of us of the saving power of God in the midst of our sometimes dark life. People of God said, amen.